The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not now understand, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Once again, good evening, everyone. I have to be honest, I lost my homily notes. I don't know where they are. So if it doesn't come out the way I wanted it, just bear with me, huh? I have a confession to make. Well, as many of you know, I'm a germaphobe, huh? I'm scared of germs. And so this is my favorite liturgy in the liturgical year, because here we celebrate the institution of two great gifts that the Lord gave us, the priesthood and the Eucharist. And I love celebrating this Mass. This is one of my favorite Masses of the year. But I don't like washing the feet. Because I'm a germaphobe. And so part of the rite of the washing of the feet is I'm supposed to kiss the feet of the people I wash. And I can't bring myself to do it. I learned a technique from a monk who taught me what to do. He said, "Take the towel. If you don't want to touch the feet, wrap your hand with the towel around their feet. Take your thumb, put it on top, and kiss that. And they'll never know the difference." And I have to say sorry to Jesus for that. Because if he could do it, and I can't, I think that's a failure on my part. Today we celebrate Holy Thursday, again, the evening in which Jesus instituted two great gifts. We all know, unfortunately, too well the scandals going on in the church with regards to some, keyword some, priests. Huh? I know I have my set of hate email. But not all priests are bad. No, I've known what? Maybe 100, 200 priests who are good and faithful and I can kind of say holy. And of all these 200 priests that I'm estimating that I know, I think I've met maybe two who are bad priests. And you don't know them, okay? So you have not to worry. We thank God for the gift of priesthood. And this is the day when we're reminded to pray for our priests.
I'm not perfect. Father Ed is not perfect. Father Sebastian's not perfect. No priest is perfect. No one is perfect. Only the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, is perfect, the perfect high priest. No other priest is perfect. So what do? Do we focus on the imperfections of these men? Yes, to whom more is given, more is expected. And I can understand why when a priest falls, it makes a loud noise because he falls from a high place, more or less, and it causes scandal and it hurts the faithful. But at the same time, number one, I think we have to stop putting priests on pedestals because and realize that priests are only human. And number two, we have to pray for our priests. Priests don't have an easy job, okay? This past week, I've been running around like a chicken without my head. And like Monday, I had to give this presentation. And this is, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. This is just to give you the reality of what the life of a priest may be, okay? Sunday night, I was in my office up to 10 o'clock preparing for the presentation I had to give Monday evening. And then I said, okay, it's 10 o'clock. I'm tired. It's been a long day. It was Palm Sunday. I'm just going to go to bed and prepare the rest of my talk tomorrow because I have no appointments the following day. Boy, was I wrong. At 1:30, my cell phone rang and woke me out of bed. Father, so-and-so just passed away. Can you come and give him the last rites? Well, I did what I could since he had already passed. But at 1:30, I was out. Okay, then I got back in, went back to bed. And then, right, I had to say the noon mass. And then before the noon mass, I got another sick call. You know, when I'm not doing anything, no sick calls come in. Nobody dies, nobody's sick. And yet when I have to do something, when it rains, it pours. No? And so I got another sick call, had to run to the hospital. Then after that, I had to go meet somebody at the jail to try and help. And it was just a long day. But you know what? At the end, the presentation turned out well, even though I wasn't able to prepare the way I wanted to prepare for it. No? Why? Because ultimately, it's not Ryan who's in control. Ultimately, it's Jesus who's in control. And how many times I fail to trust. I'm a priest and I still fail to trust the Lord. See, if we serve wholeheartedly and we give everything to God, everything will work out well. If we rely on ourselves and we have expectations of ourselves that are high, well then, yes, nothing's going to turn out well because they're not going to turn out the way we want them. But if we are open and receptive and collaborate with the will of God, everything works out well. We have to trust. And that goes for the church right now. No, the situation that the church finds herself in with regards to scandals and bad priests and bad examples and this and that. Ultimately, we have to realize that God is in control. For the past 2,000 years, God has been in control, and He's not going to abandon us now. So pray for your priests. Pray that we be open and receptive, and we ourselves collaborate and trust with God. That's the priesthood. Today we also celebrate the institution of the Blessed Eucharist, where Jesus takes ordinary bread, ordinary wine, and He transforms them into His very self. And then He gives it to us to take, to eat, to drink. Why? So that He can fill us with His presence, so that He can transform us into His very being. But the thing is, in order for us to be transformed, in order for us to be filled with God's, Jesus' presence in the Eucharist, we have to empty ourselves of us. We have to be like that bread. No, it's blessed, it's broken, and then it's shared. It's hard to do. The easy part is to be blessed, no? Because we all want the blessings. Come, Lord, more blessings, more grace. But then when it comes time to be broken, when it comes time to be shared, nobody wants to do it. But the thing is, the life of a Christian has to be the life of Christ. We have to allow ourselves, yes, to be not only blessed, but also to be broken and shared. This is what Holy Thursday is about. This is what priesthood, this is what Christianity, this is what it's all about. Loving service in imitation of our Lord, in imitation of Jesus. A self-effacing service. A service does not seek, what will I gain if I do this? No. And so, brothers and sisters, let's ask ourselves, what is it that is preventing us from serving wholeheartedly? Not just going through the motions, mind you, huh? But truly serving wholeheartedly our God and one another. Is it fear of germs? Is it fear of being rejected? Is it fear of looking uncool? Let's get rid of anything that prevents us from serving, because then we're not living our life the way Jesus lived his life. In service, in love, in humility. And so I call forward now the 12 people who are representatives of the parish and who will have their feet washed. Now, here at Jesus, our risen Savior, we do things a little differently. Come forward. Now, I wash their feet, and then afterwards, they go out and they pick a random person's feet to wash. It's all nice. Now, all these gestures are nice. They have meaning. We've been doing them for how many hundreds of years? But at the same time, they can't be left to just gestures. What we see here, what we heard proclaimed in the gospel, has to be lived every day. As Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, so may we wash one another's feet, not literally, but figuratively. Amen.